All right, take your Bibles tonight. We're going to talk about a little balance tonight, about maybe some things that you're doing and that you need to add to those things without neglecting the other things, and some things that maybe you haven't been doing, you ought to be doing, some things that you're doing maybe you shouldn't be doing as much of, but need to find some balance in what you're doing for the cause of Christ. And here, it's the Lord speaking. He's talking about prayer in Luke 18:1. And he says this about prayer in Luke 18. He said, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, for this purpose. He said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. My, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us tonight, Lord, to get into your word, Father, and speak to our hearts and help us, give us the sense of it. And Lord, give us the unction and the desire and the fervency, Lord, to do what you ask us to do, Lord, and that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, and that we might be better prepared for the cause of Christ, Lord, and what you want us to do as a church, Lord. Thank you for each one who has come out tonight, Lord, and every home that's represented here, Lord. And pray you'd hold us up, lift us up, and help us, Lord. And we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory for all you're doing, all you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. My. Now, here in the text says he spake a parable to them, and a parable is something set in comparison with something else that we might draw some kind of a moral conclusion from it. But one thing he says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. There's some things that we ought to do. It's a term that I use a lot with folks going through recovery and addictions. I'd say, and I got this from Bob Jones Sr., had one of his chapel sayings, was do what you ought to do. Most of the time we know what we ought to do, and a lot of times we just don't do it. One of my favorite sayings for today is I'll tell folks to do the next right thing. And that's a good thought for folks who are struggling with some sinful habits. Is just do the next right thing, and it'll help you, and you'll grow with it, and maybe you can forsake those habits. There's an old saying, you sow an act and you reap a habit. You sow a habit and you reap a character. You sow a character and you reap a destiny. So it all starts with an act, and that's the same thing with our prayer life. You've got to start somewhere. And I think what some of us may get ourselves into is we become one-sided. We're God, we speak to God in our prayer life. We'll go to God and we'll praise him, we'll give him glory, and we'll ask things from him. John R. Rice had a great book on prayer called Asking and Receiving. And that was his focus for the prayer life. Now, I think probably the best work I ever read on prayer, and I've heard Jeremiah quote him often, is E.M. Bounds. It's a wonderful book. But you need to understand that it can't be a one-sided conversation. You've got to allow God to speak to you. Now, in our addictions program here, Reformers Unanimous, we have three talks. We talk to God through prayer requests and testimonies and so forth. And then we allow God, well, we speak to each other, but then and thirdly, we allow God to speak back to us. And God speaks to us through preaching and through his scripture, through his word. You can't let it be a one-sided conversation where you're always pleading with God and asking God for things, but you never take time to listen to what the Lord has to say to you. I heard a fellow's wife told him one, he says, honey, you haven't spoken to me in 20 years. And he said, I didn't want to interrupt you. And that may be how God is with us. God wants to tell us something, but he don't want to interrupt us, because we're too busy asking for a lot of things that are probably that we might consume it on our lust. I don't know about that. But you look for that balance. You've got to allow God to speak back to you. Prayer, talking to God, Bible reading, preaching. Let the preaching of the Word of God speak to your heart, and it should. We gather around for preaching. We don't have many speakers. We have preachers. God chose the foolishness of preaching. So we preach the Word. Preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. My, my, my. That's what we try to do. Now, said he spoke a parable to them, and here the Lord as a final authority for believers states in verse 1 that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And that's an attitude you need to stay in all the time. Your entire day ought to be with that communication back and forth between you and the Lord. You should let him speak to your heart with every decision you make, every thought. The Bible says, commit thy works unto the Lord and your thoughts shall be established. But that's not going to happen if there's no communication going. You got to communicate back and forth with the Lord, and it can't be one-sided. You got to let him speak to you. Simply a matter of fact spoken by the Lord that men ought always to pray and to faint not. And I remember not too many years ago, the phrase became popular in Christian circles and also became the subject of bumper stickers at WWJD. What would Jesus do? Well, that's a good thing to consider. I've gone through it. How would the Lord react to this situation? Somebody just cut you off on US 50? What are you going to do? You ain't going to get all huffy? You're going to give them hand signals and use some bad language toward them? What are you going to do? What would the Lord do? And I think we know that. He says, take it patiently. Take it patiently. That's difficult to do. You know, Brother Phil, I heard one of the the guy that had road rage is someone you'd never think of, Lester Roloff. He said he'd get so upset with people in driving. I forget who told me that. Maybe Roman, I don't know. But what would the Lord do? But we need to always communicate back and forth with our Lord over on whatever we're doing. We've had this crazy thing with this shutdown and a plague that's hit the world. What do we do? Well, what would the Lord want you to do? You do what you ought to do. My. Obviously, whatever Jesus did, he did it in agreement with the Father. Nothing that he did or said ever was out of agreement with the Word of God. He was the Word. He was the living Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, here the Lord of glory says that we ought to do the same thing. And not only that, but the Lord said we ought always to pray and to faint not. Now, what that word faint. Webster defines faint as to become feeble or to decline or fail in strength and vigor, to become weak. Then it quotes Mark 8 where it says, if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. Definition number 3 is to sink into dejection or to lose courage or spirit. Boy, it's tough now if you lose some spirit toward the Lord. Sometimes that's hard to get back. You can get in a bad way with the Lord, and you just don't have the energy or the vitality, the vigor to get up and force yourself to pray to him, force yourself to read the Bible. Anybody ever have to force themselves to read the Bible? I have. What is it about somebody that don't want to read their Bible? The flesh. The flesh wants to be doing something else. Paul said, we are those that have no confidence in the flesh. So if I had confidence in the flesh, I'd never read my Bible hardly. Because the flesh don't want to. But the Lord said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. You don't get wearied with it. You don't get faint with it. He said we shouldn't give up or get discouraged in our prayer life. And then he gives an example in the form of a parable here. And he gives a story in the next verse here in Luke 18:2. He says, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. He could care less about God. He wasn't a godly man. Neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that same city, and she came to him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. My, my, my. Lord calls the judge in this story the unjust judge. He didn't care for God, and he could care less about this woman. He wasn't doing anything because he cared for this woman. He could have cared less for this woman's problems. He said that he didn't fear God or man. In fact, early on, he simply ignored her. But this woman just wouldn't quit bugging him. It says he ignored her for a while, but afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. My, my, my. That's a pretty good moral of the story is, hey, what man, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a scorpion? The moral is, this judge cared less for this woman, but she just kept on bugging him and kept on bugging him, and he was starting to worry him, and he gave her what she asked for. Now, the Lord, on the other hand, he loves you. He loves me. How much more shall the one who loves you so much want to do good things for you? He wants to hear from you. He wants to answer your prayer. He rewardeth them that diligently seek him. He wants to do that for you. My, my, my. This woman just kept on persisting. Finally, the unjust judge did what she asked him. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Now watch it. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Your prayers don't fall on deaf ears. God wants to hear from you. Problems today with the average Christian's prayer life is we go to God once, maybe a couple times, then, well, we just take it, well, God said no, I'll move on. No, it don't work that way. I remember Brother Doyle saying that he prayed 40 years for his brother before his brother ever got saved, trusted Christ. A lot of you folks have been here for a while. You remember for years I'd bring up Naeem Abdul Haq. Naeem Abdul Haq was an Arab born in Jerusalem, a Muslim, and he married a Jewish girl named Rebecca. And they had three kids. Rebecca was a Jew. An Arab married a Jew. And I remember later asking about that marriage, and he said, no, that's not uncommon. Said it's more uncommon for a Jewish man to marry an Arab woman than it is an Arab man to marry a Jewish woman. But somewhere along the way, many years ago, Becky got saved. Becky got saved and their three daughters got saved and were members. And I don't know if they got saved through that ministry, but they were members of Tony York's church up there at Mooresville, Indiana, Victory Baptist Church in Mooresville. And Naeem never would come to Christ, even though we have the testimony and the witness of his children. And he saw what biblical Christianity did. And it's a Bible-believing church. They preached the book, saw what biblical Christianity did for those children. He saw what biblical Christianity did for his wife. And he would even, he got so far as to come to church with them once in a while. He came to one of the meetings where I preached at I preached there every year for many, many years. And Naeem would come, and for some reason, go figure, he took a liking to me. We became friends, and I would go out. They ran the Mediterranean Grill in Moores, Avon, Indiana, the Mediterranean Grill. And I would go out and visit Naeem and his families. All the girls played instruments. One of the girls played banjo, five-string banjo. Her name was Saraya. Then there was Sarah that played the fiddle. And then Samara, the three girls. And I would go visit with them at the Mediterranean Grill, partly because I liked Naeem, but a lot because I loved his cooking. Boy, it was good food out there. But years and years I prayed for Naeem. Every night, my prayer list is in alphabetic order, so he is first on my prayer list. Naeem Abdelhak. Took me a while to learn to say that, Brother Phil. Abdelhak. All right. And I'd pray for Naeem, I'd pray for Becky, for Sarah, Sharia, and Samara. Tony York had been praying probably for him 10 years before I ever started praying. I'm trying to think, Joyce, how long has it been? A year and a half, 2 years ago maybe? Naeem had a heart attack. He's laying in the hospital bed there at IU Medical Center. Is that where it was, I think? Or Methodist, one of those big heart hospitals up there. And we went up to see him, and his Tony York had been witnessing to him. I remember for years. Remember one time we talked about the Jerusalem and the empty tomb of the Lord's, and asked him why. Brother Dale Tilley was praying for him also. We were at the reservation one night. Naeem came to hear. And after that stopped the reservation, and Dale Tilley had been preached. Dale had asked, we talked about that empty tomb and said, why was that tomb empty? And Naeem said, because he had risen. He knew that he was getting close. And then the week he died, they lost him twice, brought him back. The second time they brought him back, he said he needed to trust Jesus Christ. And I went in to see him after he had told Tony York that he had trusted Christ. Went in to see him and says, Brother Tom, said, I've been thinking about it a long time. Pray, pray, pray. I remember reading the story over the years about the Jew, I think it was a Jew that got saved, Hyman Appleman. Great evangelist, and he got to the church at night and preached, and they didn't like what they heard, and they was going to run him off. The deacons, the high sophisticates of the church got together, and they were going to run him off. They went to the hotel that next morning about 8 a.m. They all showed up at his hotel room, was going to tell him to cancel the meeting. He needed to move on, and said when they walked up toward his door, they could see through the window, and he's there by his bedside praying. Just praying, praying loud. They could hear him. They said outside the door. They said, boys, we better, let's go have breakfast and study about this a little bit and come back after breakfast. And then we'll run him off. So they went and ate breakfast, came back about an hour and a half later, and they walked up the room, and he's still there praying. Fella said, boys, I think we better do something different here. I think we better leave him alone. You find If I find a man that prays like that, a man whose heart is in tune with God that much, where his heart's praying, I don't want to mess with that fella. I don't want to mess with that fella at all. You leave him alone. Men ought always to pray and to faint not. Wow. Then he says, let us therefore come boldly. Hebrews, writer of Hebrews says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, whenever a big event happens here in our country, well, around the world, but in our country, I remember 9/11. People hadn't prayed in ages and ages, decided they might need to pray. And with this pandemic, Christians are praying. Maybe with some folks that should be Christians and grew up around Christians, maybe they thought they were Christians, but it brought them back to the Lord. That's a good thing. Normally, after a few months after that's all said and done with, most of the folks go back to their sorry ways and forget all about God. And of course, you've got a news media and all the world's elite that wouldn't dare say that God had any hand in any of it. In fact, one of the big things with this and I don't know what to call it, this elitist crowd is that God don't have any say-so in the affairs of man. And God has everything to do with the affairs of man. God has everything to do with everything. With the affairs of man. And we don't come boldly to Christ because we've done anything that we deserve it. We come boldly. It says, come boldly before the throne of grace, that we might find help in the time of need. In fact, in Ephesians 3:12, it says, in whom we have boldness and access by the faith of him. It's because of him that I have access tonight. It's because of him that you've got an open door when you come to the throne of glory. You name that name that is above every name, and all of a sudden God's door is open. The door is open to you because of Jesus Christ. It don't say come meekly before the throne of grace. It says come boldly before the throne of grace. Whenever I invoke the name that's above every name, my prayer bypasses this body of flesh, which is, Paul said, I know within me that is within my flesh dwelleth no good thing. It bypasses that and goes to the throne room of God because of Jesus Christ that indwells me, and it's in his name. It's his name that I invoke when I go to the Father, and he wants to hear from me. It's not like we're wearying God to pray to. He gets glory whenever we seek him to do business for us. Psalms 57:2, I will cry unto God most high, unto God who performeth all things for me. It don't weary him to do stuff for you. It's not God going out of his way to do something for you. It's God being glorified because of his son. Oh, he loves his son. Seeing then, Hebrews 4:14, that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Romans chapter 8 says that our Lord is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for the saints. 1 John 5:14, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. If you're a child of God, you have access to God that no lost person has because of Jesus Christ. At your house, your kids never knock before they come in, do they? They just come right on in. Leah, Esther, Sarah. You better get Amos and Lydia in there on this too. You guys don't knock on the door before you come in, do you? They do? Okay. Well, they just barge in. They expect something to eat. They expect something good on the table. They expect a lot of things, I bet. I always did. But isn't it nice to know that God loves us? He loved us enough to die for us, and he wants to hear from us, and he wants to talk to us. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. Want to find out about the Lord? Want to find out what's on the Lord's mind? Read the book. Get in the book. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read, the Bible says. Said of the Bereans, they search the scriptures daily, whether these things be so. Then it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much the more. But exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. There's some kind of day approaching. Man, it's getting wilder and wilder out there. There's a big tropical storm at the Atlantic going up, flooding the Outer Banks, think of the Carolinas. There's it's called a super cyclone that's about to hit Indonesia, may have already hit, and said it's the worst storm that's ever, a super cyclone had sustained winds of 165 miles an hour. That's just going on as I speak here, man. It's going. You ain't seen nothing yet. Just a little breath of God, and he can wipe out what he wants to wipe out. And we happen to get caught up in it because the rain falleth on the just and the unjust. The day is approaching. But God wants to be a blessing to you. He says, you have not because you ask not. This woman in our text, she is persistent. Says she just kept coming continually. When's the last time we've done that? When's the last time we just wouldn't leave God alone with a petition we asked? We think, well, I don't want to. I've heard people say that. I don't want to bother God. Now, he's not talking about formal prayer being repetition, that kind of thing. He's talking about someone fervently praying. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He wants to hear from you. Don't give up. Don't give up. David said in Psalms 41, said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. My. There's other stories in there. The story in Matthew 15 about the woman praying for her daughter, and the Lord sent her away, but she just kept on coming back. Remember the story of had the friend that came to him at midnight and needed some groceries because he had some company, and the fellow said, hey, I'm already in bed. Leave me alone. Come another time. Guy wouldn't quit, said, because of his importunity. That means his persistence. He just kept on nagging. He got up and gave to him what he needed. The Lord's listening for his people. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, he's wanting to hear from you. That's one of the essentials of biblical Christianity, and that relationship between us and our Lord, that we keep that communication going. Not only that we talk to him and we're consistent with it. Men ought always to pray and to faint not. We're consistent with it, and we're constantly calling on the Lord, but that we allow him to speak to us. We have to overcome the desires of the flesh and the wills of this flesh and the obstacles and the hurdles that the flesh puts in front of us, and we need to read the book. We need to hear the preaching, assembling ourselves with other Christians. That communion of the Spirit of God. We're all indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit likes the communion. As we join together in the Lord's house. I'm done. If you're here tonight, maybe you've never trusted Christ. I'm looking around. I hope everyone has. Paul said, I fear lest any corrupt you from the simplicity that is in Christ. Want to go to heaven? Trust Jesus Christ. The disciples asked the Lord, said, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? What do we got to do? Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. My, my, my. Everyone stand up tonight.